Hello. Welcome to the Pastor Vic Nugget Show, blogging from historic Hyde Park, New York. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. And I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. My focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously in this life. This series is Christianity 202, post number 52, entitled Contending for the Abundant Life, Part 3. I know that there are some Christians who believe that Christians in general should live in poverty and lack. Now, God may call some to live in those situations as a means to demonstrate that material things do not guarantee love, peace, and joy. However, I don't see anything in Scripture to indicate that we should be seeking the path of poverty to demonstrate how godly we are. By the same token, though, I don't see anything in the Bible to indicate that we are promised lives of self-centered, luxurious living either. So what does the promise of an abundant life, which is found in John chapter 10, verse 10, what does it mean? What are we promised our lives, our meaning, and purpose? See, that's really what is important. Meaning and purpose go beyond the accumulation of material things. The pursuit of money alone is actually a slippery slide to a destitute soul. Now, I know this statement is contrary to the worldview today, but it's true. There are three things that will cause a person to lose sight of God: pleasure, money, and celebrity. 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17 says the following: For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's pleasure, sex, the lust of the eyes, the desire for material things, and the pride of life, status, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, if we're honest, aren't we all tempted by these three pitfalls of life? God's will for you is to be an overcomer. That is, overcoming the natural ways of doing things and moving in the supernatural to do his will. Now, how does one do the will of God? The path to living the abundant life, as I've said in my last post, is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, all the things that will be added to you are the things that you need. But the focus must be on seeking the kingdom and seeking his righteousness. But what exactly are the kingdom and what is his righteousness? Seeking the kingdom means to recognize that our citizenship is heaven and that we are representatives or ambassadors of Jesus Christ right here on earth. Now, there are two scriptures that point to this fact. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. And then 2 Corinthians 5:20, which says, then we are ambassadors for Christ. By faith, believing that our citizenship is from heaven means that we live our lives in such a way that reflect the values and truths of God in heaven right here on earth. You don't have to wait to go to heaven to experience heaven. You can experience right here on earth. We believe that what is true in heaven is also available to us on earth. In other words, we have spiritual rights to the promises of God. And then by faith, believing that we are ambassadors of Christ, the King, means that we are his representatives. We speak and act by his authority given to us by Jesus. We're also aware that at all times that we are representing him. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, and the hardest place to do that is in your own home with your own families. Now, seeking his righteousness means to live as a disciple of Christ and follow his teachings, which are given in the Bible. On the one hand, his righteousness has been transferred to us, meaning that we are immediately in right standing with God. You are righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says the following: "For he made him who knew no sin," meaning Jesus, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This verse shows that there was an exchange. Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Seeking his righteousness also means that we are trying to do those things that are right in God's eyes. And I'm sure you would agree that as a human being, we have an amazing ability to justify or rationalize our decisions to fit what we feel. And the problem is the word feel. Our emotions are capable of blinding us to what we should do and say as representatives of Christ. Our emotions, when unchecked, can lead us to do and say those things which are the exact opposite of what Jesus would do or say. Now you might be thinking then it's impossible to seek his righteousness. Well, the good news is that Jesus has already accounted for that. When Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, Jesus sent us a helper, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is able to communicate with your spirit. You see, you will have spiritual ability to hear, understand, and do what God requires of you. What was impossible before, because you were trying to do it in your own physical strength, is now possible because you are following after the Spirit of God. At the end of Romans chapter 7 and the beginning of Romans 8 is a very relevant testimony by the Apostle Paul, his struggle with doing the right or pursuing righteousness. Paul talks about the seeming duality existing in him, the duality of wanting to do the right thing with his mind, but instead wind up doing the wrong thing. He likens it to a battle that he constantly loses. He explains that when he tried to live according to the law of Moses when he was a Pharisee, which according to God, that was the right thing to do. That was walking in righteousness, obeying the law. But he said he wound up doing the opposite. And this is what he said. He says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, what I desire to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, what I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing." Paul's conclusion was that he was powerless to do what was right by sheer determination and self-control. At the end of chapter 7, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And Paul then exclaims, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, Jesus is the one who makes the impossible possible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul makes the liberating proclamation. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, righteous, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You see, the difference is between living by the flesh, human effort, and being led by the Spirit of God. Join me next time as we examine what it means to be led by the Spirit into a victorious life. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets. If you like our show and want to know more, please check out our website at www.pastorvicsnuggets.com. Or a simple way to go is www.pastorvic.com. And also please take the time to like, follow, or share. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.